Amen. John chapter 1. We've started a series on the life of Christ. We're going to study the life of Christ. I am in no hurry. I hope you're not in a hurry to get through with it, because I am not. And I said, just to remind you, when we started this, there's a lot of people that talk about Jesus Christ but don't know anything about the life of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people say they're saved and they know little to nothing about his life, his works, his deeds, his actions, or even his words. There's a lot of churches. There's a lot of churches and programs that talk about Jesus Christ, but they don't say anything about the life of Christ. So every once in a while, and I know all you already know it, but every once in a while you need to go back to the basics. You need to get back to the basics to know why you believe what you believe about Jesus Christ. If you don't do it, you'll forget that he was more than a man. You'll forget that he was more than just a great teacher. He was more than a great preacher. The Jehovah's Witnesses don't teach anything about the life of Christ. The Mormons don't teach anything about the life of Christ. Thomas used to be in the Mormon church. He told me, he said, we'd go in there and said, you know, their Bible, the top half of it is King James Bible, but the lower half is Mormonism. And he said they never read out of the Bible. They always read out of that bottom half. And they didn't talk anything about what we talk about. So he didn't know anything about it. Amen? And so, see, you've got to know about the life of Jesus Christ to understand his importance, okay? That he was more than a man, but you have to study his life. So, we've come to chapter 1, verse 19. Chapter 1, verse 19. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? That's the Greek spelling for Elijah. And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? Now remember, he's talking to John the Baptist here, okay? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him, and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there is one standing among you, there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now he's testifying of his divinity when he said he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. Father, help us tonight. Make Jesus real to us, not just a name, not just somebody on a statue or a figurine or something. Not somebody hanging on a cross, but the real Lord and the real Savior and the real Christ. And help us to be able to share that divine knowledge that you give to us to know, because not everybody knows that, God, and you know that. So help us to reveal what you've revealed in us, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. I wrote my title down here tonight. Write it down back there, Rick, so they can put it on the recording. Have we missed the point? Have we missed the point of who Jesus is? A lot of people have. They missed the whole picture. Before I was saved, I would have told you, I believe there was a historical Jesus. I mean, there's enough history. There's more history about the life of Jesus than there is about George Washington or Abraham Lincoln. So you can't deny historically that there was a Jesus. The Muslims talk about Jesus. The Hindus talk about Jesus. all the major religions of the world talk about Jesus. But when was the last time you personally thought about who Jesus Christ is? And when was the last time that you thought enough of it to tell it to somebody else as the truth? I'm afraid a lot of people have missed the point. God gave the Savior to us, Jesus Christ, so we would receive forgiveness of sin and eternal life, so that we might tell others, so they would receive forgiveness of sin and eternal life, and they might tell others, and they might tell others, and they might tell others. And he's more than just a nice story. And I've told you before, he's more than a baby in a manger. He's more than a little boy that taught the teachers there when he was 12 years old. He was more than a carpenter. He was more than Mary's wonderful son. He was even more than they called him rabbi, a teacher. He was more than a rabbi. He was more than a teacher. He was God in the flesh. And when God revealed that to you, you received him as your Savior, and I think you missed the point. It wasn't supposed to stop with you. And I'm afraid it stops with most people now. Now, when most of us were younger, we regularly saw people accept Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. You old folks remember that? Yep. About every Sunday, somebody got saved. About every week, you'd hear about somebody, they would say, got religion. About every week. And the reason was is because the ones that were saved before them did not miss the point. He was not only the Son of God and their Savior, he was the Savior of the world, and they were supposed to pass that on. But when was the last time you did that? When was the last time that you risked rejection? When was the last time? See, that's the reason you don't want to do it. You're afraid that somebody will make fun of you. You're afraid they'll say no. Amen? Let's be honest. And more and more I thought about it. When was the last time that you made a sacrifice to share the gospel? You know, it used to be everywhere I go, I'd try to start a Bible study where I worked, even as a young man. And if you start a Bible study at work, you'll probably not get to eat too much lunch, because you're going to be the one teaching. And you can't eat and talk. Well, some people can't eat and talk at the same time, but most of us can't eat a whole lot and talk at the same time. And on top of that, once you did that, you were labeled. So you sacrificed maybe positions in that place where you worked. You might have sacrificed raises. You might have sacrificed friends or family. But when was the last time that you thought enough about Jesus Christ and his purpose and his reason for coming? When was the last time you thought enough about that to pass it on to somebody else at the risk of embarrassment or rejection or even loss of friendship, family, or position? I think we've missed the point. I mean, somehow I haven't. Since the day I got saved, I wanted to tell somebody. I've always wanted to tell somebody. I don't know how people can say that they know Jesus and not want to talk about it. I don't understand that. I remember when I'd go to Sunday school there in Eastside Baptist Church, that little Sunday school room about the size of this, I think. And, I went in there excited. I'd never been to Sunday school. And here I was, 23 years old. And boy, I thought everybody in there was as excited about knowing Jesus as I was. I found out they weren't. And I'd go to church and I thought, boy, this is good. I'd look around. I thought everybody thought it was good. Everybody didn't think it was good. Some people came because they had to, out of obligation or because their wife made them, you know, and their mom and dad made them, but whatever. I think that a lot of Christians have missed the point. He is the Savior. He is the Son of God. He was sinless. He was pure, perfect, undefiled. He did die in sinner's place. He did rise from the grave the third day. He did preach after he came out of the grave. He did ascend up into heaven. And now he sits on the right hand of the Son of God, making intercession for us. And he is coming back in all his glory. But that's not the point that we need to tell. The point we need to tell is he can be your Savior. Your Lamb of God, not just thee, not just our, but your Lamb of God. You got to make salvation personal. See, because a lot of people, they'll come to church here and they'll say, well, I believe that. I'll preach on separation. I'll say, you women ought to dress like women. And people say, amen. And I'll say, you men ought to dress like a man. Amen. Amen. And I'll say, you kids ought to sit up and behave. They'll say, amen. And I'll say the Bible's the Word of God, inspired, infallible, inerrant, without any mixture of error, and good for all our faith and all our practice in living. And people say, amen. And they don't even know the Savior.
Come on now.
See, it's easy to adopt doctrine without knowing the purpose of those things. All those things I said are good, but they're good if you're already a Christian and you want to be a better Christian and good testimony. Those won't save you. You understand what I'm saying? So, look here, just a couple of things. Now, John the Baptist did not miss the point of the life of Jesus Christ. John said one thing about Jesus, his past and his future. You know what he said? He said, there comes the one that I'm not even worthy to touch his shoes. To loose or to latch his shoes. Didn't he say that? Is that in your Bible? Y'all got a King James Bible, don't you? All right, give me a Methodist, non, or Presbyterian, or Baptist, amen, okay? Amen. Or Appalachian American wave, you know. John didn't preach a whole lot of stuff. Here's what John said. I'm not even worthy to unlatch his shoe. I'm not worthy to latch his shoe. I'm not worthy to touch his feet. He said that. Showing his sinful, talking about his sinful self compared to the Savior. And then he said, I came before him, but he's preferred before me. In other words, he is God because he existed before I did, even though I'm 6 months older than he is. And so he was pointing him out that he is the eternal God. He existed always. The great I am, later on you'll see. But he didn't preach on those things. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, every Jew there knew what he was talking about. You know why? The Lamb was the sacrifice that they offered the blood for to cover their sins. And they knew there was a Savior that was prophesied, as they said, by Isaiah the prophet. And they knew that there was a great prophet, they called him, coming. You know, they knew all that. So John the Baptist didn't beat around the bush. He got right to the point. There's your Savior right there. And then the next day he's walking wrong along with one of John's disciples. And he tells that disciple, he told him the same thing. There he is, the Lamb of God. Takes away the sins of the world. There he is. And then John began to lose disciples. You know why? He kept pointing them to Jesus. He's the only preacher I ever know that pointed his people to somebody else's pastor. I don't know. I think I've filled up 2 or 3 churches in this town already. They get mad at me and go somewhere else. John got right to the point. That's what you need right there. The Lamb of God that'll wash away your sins right there. That's the point we need to make. Look, you can clean up every drunk in town. You can get all those policemen to bring you the drug addicts and the drunks and the prostitutes and everything else. and you can give them new clothes and give them a bath and put some money in their pocket, and probably within a week or two they'll be right back where they were. They don't need reformation. They need a regeneration. They need a new mind, a new heart, a new spirit. And when hey, you point them to the Savior, then you point them to the shower. You got to catch the fish before you can clean it. And I'm afraid there's a lot of churches trying to clean fish before they catch them. In other words, they're trying to clean up sinners, but a clean sinner is just going to hell just as much as a dirty sinner. And so I think they've missed the point. What we need to do, look, we got all these feel-good ministries now. All these churches have feel-good ministries. Now, I'm not against helping people. God bless you. If God burden your heart to help people, help them. Help them. But Jesus said, the poor you'll have always with you. And he didn't say go in all the world and build soup kitchens. What did he say? Go in all the world and preach the gospel, which is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He didn't say go in all the world and make medical clinics. He said go in all. By the way, he healed the lepers. He gave sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf. He wasn't against healing, but he was more for saving their eternal soul. That's the point. The Salvation Army used to be a wonderful thing. They'd go out in the street, play music, sing, then they'd preach. Now they stand in front of Walmart with a bucket, begging. John Booth, wasn't his name John? His last name was Booth. He would turn over in his grave if he saw the way the Salvation Army is today. Now, I'm not against helping people. Again, I'm not. We take up others' offering here. We pay people's rent. We pay their light bill. We get their cars fixed, if the Lord allows. But I think somebody has missed the point. You go to church now, and churches are supposed to be inclusive. And by that, I mean, we're supposed to say, whosoever will, let him come drink the water of life freely. Am I telling the truth? Instead, they say, well, our church is a cowboy church. You can come over here if you look like a cowboy. Well, what about people who don't look like cowboys? And then you got another church, they say, well, our church is a motorcycle church. If you can ride a motorcycle, you can come over here. Well, what about people who don't ride motorcycles? I used to have a 10-speed bike. I traded in for a 1-speed and a fat seat. Do they have a bicycle church? They call it bike church. I wonder what they think if I rode up over there in my suit on that fat-seated bicycle. You see, it's not that they're bad people. It's they've gotten off the main point. You missed the point. Well, we want people to be comfortable. Sinners are never comfortable under the preaching of the Savior.
That's right. Come on.
If they were, then they wouldn't need a Savior. They've missed the point. John chapter 1, verse 19 through what we just read, teaches us the who, what, and the where about what point is. Number one, look at verse 19 real quick. I'm already almost out of time. Verse 19, look at it with me. In chapter 1 of John, verse 19, he said, flip back over. He said, and this is the record of John, which the Jews sent, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. You see that? Now, look at verse 21. They ask him, who art thou? You Elijah? I'm not. Are you the prophet? No, I'm not. Then said they unto him, who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? Do you see that? What sayest thou of thyself? Look what he said in verse 23. He said, I am the voice. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. John 1:23. Y'all were there a while ago. And he said, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. Now, John, he understood who he was. You know who he was? He was the voice of one.
He was not the one. He wasn't saying, follow me. He was saying, follow him. He was saying, I'm just a sinner that needs a Savior, and I found the Savior, the Lamb of God. I'm the voice. There he is. Go get him. But see, before you understand who he is, you got to understand who you are. In John chapter 7, verse 18, listen to what he said. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true. And no unrighteousness is in him. See, what you got to do, you got to realize that if you toot your own horn, you can't save anybody. Well, you see these people running around here, they're looking for a following. Looking for a following. Any jackleg in town, you go out there and shake that bush, 10 or 15 guys that say they're preachers will fall out of that bush. But they don't know what they're doing. They're lifting up themselves when they ought to be lifting him up, see. They've missed the point. Well, I quit drinking liquor and I got saved. Now I'm preaching. We don't care what you did. We want to about him. And they'll get up and talk for 30 minutes, men and women, about how they used to live and how wicked they were. And now they've quit all that and now they're a Christian. Well, tell us about the one that did that for you. Don't tell us about you.
Come on, man. Yeah.
See, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all got bad stories to tell, but you've missed the point. That bad story's not going to get anybody saved.
That's
right. Well, I put on these videos on YouTube and stuff, these preachers, especially young ones, and I could name some of y'all would know them personally. And they have dramas about this sinner that went through their life, you know, and all this terrible stuff in the drama, you know, and then finally at the end they get down, they get prayed. You wasted 30 minutes. You should have just got over there to the point. Behold the Lamb, the Son of God. Quit talking about yourself. So you had a bad life, didn't we all? So you were a sinner, weren't we all? And we don't have to see a play about that. Faith doesn't come by play. It comes by hearing the Word of God. We don't need a drama. We need Jesus.
Amen.
Are y'all still with me?
Amen.
They have missed the point. But Pastor, we need to show people how great things God has done. You point them to Jesus and they will experience how great things to God can do.
Amen.
I think there's a little bit of vanity in there. Some people just want to brag about how bad they were. And by the way, if they'll brag about how bad they were, they'll be bad again one day.
Come on, man.
I told y'all, I was talking to one fellow, he got out of penitentiary not long ago. He said, you wouldn't want me in your church. He said, you don't know what I've done. I said, I don't want to know. I don't want to know what you've done. He said, well, wouldn't nobody in your church would want to sit with me if they knew what I'd done? I said, there's people in my church you wouldn't want to sit with if you knew what they'd done. I said, we have that don't ask, don't tell policy. All we want to know is, are you saved? Do you know Jesus? Have you been born again? Have you had a miraculous experience called a new birth? If you've got that, we don't care what you did last week or last year or 10 years or 20 years ago. Do you know him? Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. They've missed the point. They've missed the point. And they're glorifying somebody's life or glorifying sin. Look, I don't care if you drank till your liver turned to stone. Are you saved now? That's what I want to know.
Amen.
Tell me about the Savior. He understood who he was. He said, I'm not the Savior. But I know who he is. Let me tell you about him, he said. Come on, help me.
Yep.
People will walk up to you at work, Britt, and they'll say, you're a Christian, ain't you? And you'll say, yeah, I am. They'll say, man, you're a good guy. I've been watching you. So, well, you don't want to know about me. Let me tell you about the one that you really see, Christ in me. You don't see me. You don't even know me. You wouldn't like me. What you're seeing is you're seeing him in me. See? Let me tell you about him. He's the one you need to know, not me. I can't help you. I can't even help myself. I needed a Savior myself. Amen? Let me tell you about him. Amen? I think they've missed the point, don't you? Amen? Amen. I don't need 7 steps to success. I need 1 step. Turn to Jesus. Amen.
I don't need a program on how to make friends and impress people. I need the one that created those people. Amen? Amen. Amen. I think they missed the point. John didn't. He understood it. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Real quick. I'm almost out of time. 1:8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, we're a voice. That's all we are. We're a voice. Sometimes we'll look at people and we'll admire them, and we ought to. We ought to honor some people. The Bible says give honor where honor is due. But listen to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear.
So you're just a voice. That's all you are. I don't care what kind of life you came from. I don't care how great a Christian you are now. There are some good Christians in this church. Most of you better one than I am. But I'll tell you this. We don't need to know about that. We need to know the one that made you that way.
Amen.
You're supposed to be his voice, not your voice. Some people are so busy telling their family history and how great-grandpa had a steal and Paw grew pot, you know, and Mama worked down at the gambling house, you know, and then he got the man was so sick, and finally he got so sick he thought he was gonna die, and he looked up and he saw this star, and he asked God to save him. God saved him. We don't need to hear all that. We want to know who the star was. Amen. Amen. John knew who he was. And then you need to understand who you serve. Look back at John chapter 1 real quick. John chapter 1. You need to know who you serve, okay? That's what we need to know. John chapter 1, look at verse 27 with me. John 1, 27. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me. Whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptized. The next day, John saith Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, you need to understand who you serve. Listen to me. Don't miss this. He is the superior one. He is superior to me and you. That's who we serve. Now, in all like manner, as tempted as we are, yet without sin, because he is superior than we are. He's not the old man upstairs. And one of my youngest said that, I might. He's not JC, amen. He's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, ever living, never ending, God in the flesh, and he's more than me and you. And we'll never be all that he is till he changes us and makes us like him. Amen?
Amen.
You need to know who you serve. You need to know that Jesus is the Savior. He's not a Savior. He's not a way. He's not a truth. He is the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. Buddha's not another way. Muhammad's not another way. Joseph Smith's not another way. The Baptist is not another way. The Pentecostal's not another way. Jesus is the way.
Amen.
And you need to know who your Savior is. And you need to tell others. And then verse 30 through 34, he declares him to be the Son of God.
Amen.
Now there's a lot of people that what was that guy named Koresh out in Texas? Y'all remember that cult? David, was it David Koresh? He told them he was Jesus Christ. You see where that ended up, don't you? The Jonestown Massacre. Old Jim Jones. He threw the Bible down one time, put his foot on it, said, too many of y'all reading this blankety blank book and you're not listening to me. And 900 of them ended up dead and in hell. You better know who the real Savior is.
Amen.
And he's not some little mamby-pamby, sissy, little prissy thing running around here that don't offend people and won't hurt people's feelings because he did.
Yes.
He pointed out sin. He pointed out sinners. And he asked me, he said, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? You bunch of vipers? You bunch of snakes? He called them hypocrites. He called them sons of Beelzebub. They were sons of devil. Hey, he wasn't one of these little limp-wristed, sissy-fied little things running around here. He's a glorious son of God. And one day he's coming back in all his power to show people. Now, when he came, first time he came as a suffering servant, but he wasn't nobody's doormat.
Amen.
He sat down. He went to the temple one day. It was his temple, by the way. They were supposed to be worshiping him. And they were exchanging money and selling stuff and all this, you know. And he sat down there on the wayside. Just, I don't know where he got it, but he got some leather straps. He sat there and watched that bunch of crooks cheating people and everything. And the Bible says he platted a whip. That took a while to sit there and plait a whip. Then he got up. He said, you made the house of prayer a den of thieves. And he took that whip and run them people out of there, flipped over the money table, screaming, hollering. That don't look like Jesus you see on television or in modern church, does it? See, it's been watered down. It's been filtered through. And they have missed the point.
Amen.
Now, look at verse 36 and we'll quit. In chapter 1. John chapter 1, look at verse 36. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. John directed people by his words to Jesus Christ. Now, John was holy, there was no doubt. The Bible says he was holy. He was born full of the Holy Ghost. That's not said by about any other man. Full of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said there wasn't a greater man than John the Baptist. But John the Baptist didn't point to himself. He pointed to Jesus Christ and he said, behold the Lamb of God. Now here's what you do. Here's how you don't let other people miss the point. Number one, you tell them what happened to you because of Jesus Christ. Number two, you tell them, just like he did, to get ready for Jesus Christ to come. That's what he preached. And number three, you tell them to look to the Lamb of God. Now that's the way you win people to Christ. That's the way you witness. You witness because everybody wonders about it. Number one, tell them why I'm you. Well, you know, March 5th, 1978, Lord Jesus had mercy on me, and he reached down, and he saved me, and he came in that day, and he gave me a new heart, a new mind, and a new spirit, and a new life, and I'm going to live long as God lives. Now he's forgiven me of all my sins, and and I'm never going to die. And then you tell them, you know what? You need to get that. That's what you need. That's what you need to tell people. That's what you need. And they'll say, who do you think you are? You judge me. Say, no, we're all condemned. I need it, you need it, he needs it, she needs it. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all need a Savior. That's what you need.
Right.
And then you say, you better get ready anyway, he's coming back. And this time, he's not bringing a whip, he's bringing a sword. Now that's what got me saved, people talking to me like that. I didn't get saved in a drama, or a movie, or a... I hate to make fun of people, but you gotta be dumb as dirt to think some old sinner, some old drunk, some old drug addict's gonna get saved because you're trying to find a door to your wall somewhere. I ain't helping nobody. You missed the point.
Amen.
The point is, you're a sinner, he's the Savior, and I'm pointing you to him and him alone. I believe a lot of people have missed the point. Because here's what you're going to do. You invite people to church, you're going to say, you need to come down here and hear my preacher. He ain't got no sense. He'll make you laugh. He'll make you cry. We have a good time. You're pointing them to the wrong person. Well, you need to come down here to our church. You know, we got this new choir director, got a new piano player. Man, I'm talking, we got good old-fashioned gospel hymn singing and good music. And
Oh, that's right. But you're pointing them to the wrong people. Well, you know, come down here. Oh, we got the friendliest, lovingest church in town, which is true. But that won't save you. You know, sinners can come here. We can hug their neck till they bleed. You know, I mean, we can hug them. We can love on them and do all this stuff. And they can feel good every time they come. And they can leave the same way they came in, lost and going to hell. You see, you missed the point. It's Him, it's not us. It's Him, it's not music. It's Him, not the way we live. By the way, ain't nobody ever got saved because of the way you live. And I heard a preacher say that the other day. He said the opposite. He said, we have to win them to Christ by the way we live. They ain't nowhere in the Bible. If they watch you long enough, they watch him long enough, they're going to see some faults.
Amen.
And they're going to say, well, I knew it. They all like. He thinks he's better than I am. No, you need to be honest with him. Don't watch me. Watch him. I'll let you down. He'll lift you up. Amen.
Amen.
I think some people have missed the point. There'll be people coming here Sunday, and I love them to death, and I'm not sure they haven't missed the whole point.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. And what's worse than that, they're not sure. Now, I can go ahead and tell you this. If you're not sure, you're probably not saved.
Amen.
How can you be born again and not know it? How can you be saved, going to heaven, and not know it? Now, you can be misled, misunderstood, and misguided, but deep down in your heart. Pastor Coley said this one time, and this is the only thing, worst thing I ever disagreed with him on. He said, if you don't watch out, you'll talk somebody into getting saved and they don't really get saved. And I said, Pastor, I don't think so. I don't think you can talk somebody into being saved and them not getting saved, because deep down in their hearts, they know they're not saved. I said, they may lie to you now and tell you that you led them to Christ just to get you off their back. But in their heart, they know. You cannot. I mean, you can't be saved and not know it.
Amen.
And then the other way around, you cannot not be saved and not know it in your heart. And I'm afraid people are missing the point. They'll come in here on Sunday and they love our singing. They'll sing our hymn. They say, well, I must be saved. I like these old hymns. They missed the point. They'll come in here and they'll say, boy, I love the preacher's wife. She just turned 60. We got the best preacher's wife in town. Yeah, but you missed the point. You shouldn't be coming here for the preacher's wife. You'll be coming here for him. Now, I'm afraid a lot of people, do y'all understand what I'm saying? There are people missing the point. And they don't have a problem being a Christian because they don't want to be a Christian. And they don't fall and get up because they're not good Christians. Sometimes it's because they're not a Christian, because they've misunderstood what a Christian is in the first place.
Amen.
Yep. I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight. I know I'm preaching to ones already noticed. But listen, let's don't mislead people. Let's don't help people to misunderstand. Let's make it very clear. Now, you may lose friends if you do that. You may lose family if you do that. You may lose a job. Some of us have by doing that. But one day, they're going to stand before the great white throne judgment. You're going to be back there on the other side of it, saved. And when they get up there and their turn comes, that you will not have looked down at your hands and have bloody hands, and them look over and say, well, she never told me. Worked with her every day, and she never told me. I thought I was a Christian and went to hell. They'd never be able to say, he didn't tell me. I worked with him every day. Matter of fact, he made me mad. That's what they ought to say. He tried to tell me. He made me mad. Let's don't let them miss the whole point, okay?
Amen.
This little girl right here talked about, I think it was her, maybe it was another, talking about getting baptized. You was talking to somebody about getting, another little girl at the house talking about getting baptized. And my wife said, what is she, 11, 12? She's 10. Big 10. Yeah. And she was talking about getting baptized. And my wife said, well, you know, you're supposed to get saved before you get baptized. She said, I know, that's why I'm not going to get baptized. Till I get saved. She's got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now God's going to reveal himself to that girl.
Yeah.
It ain't going to be long. One day she's going to be sitting in church or at home or somewhere,
And her spiritual eyes are going to open. She's going to say, now I see it. I'm ready to get saved. Then I'll get baptized.
Amen.
Father, thank you that somehow, some way, you impressed on our hearts and in our minds so that we didn't miss the point. There's a lot of people out there searching for truth tonight, Lord. And look, we could have been one of those people. And some have been misled and some misunderstand. And some just missed the point and just don't understand it at all. And they're good people. God, give us holy boldness that we'll rescue these people and be plain. Be plain like John the Baptist. I'm not the one, but I can show you the one. I'm not the voice, but I can take you to the voice. I'm not the lamb, but I can show you the lamb. And let this church be a place where people will not misunderstand. When they leave here, let them know whether or not for sure, without a doubt, they're going to heaven. In Jesus' name. Amen. Get your